Somebody has something on your heart today. Anything needs to be said or done. She did receive the care package from the Secret Sisters, and she's very appreciative of that. And in the passing of her sister, my Aunt Linda, will have the service this coming Saturday at Crafton Funeral Home in Franklin, Kentucky. And so please remember to pray for her family on the passing of my Aunt Linda Patterson. Mom, her sister that's 1 year younger has passed away, and the one that's 1 year older has passed away. And out of 14 children, actually 16 that were born, I believe there's six remaining now. And so you pray for them, and pray for us as well. Anybody have a testimony, anything on your heart? Do you have a better place to go? That's a good place to be on earth, in God's house, to be with God's people and to share in that. But you know, the best is yet to come. And I'm glad we've got a better place to go. I'm glad that because of the obedience of Jesus Christ, that we have a better place to go. We've been preaching for the last few weeks about the holy garments or the clothing of Christ in Galatians 3:22 through 29, and the seven complete articles of Christianity. We've covered humility. We've covered trust, righteousness. And last week we tried to convey how that we're to be kindly affectionate one to another in kindness. And this week's about obedience. We take our text from the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. It says, "For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ." Now, to be able to put on Christ, one of the things that we've got to be able to do is be obedient. And if God's knocked on your heart today, you need to be obedient to that. You say, is God real? Well, there's been two movies made about God being real, but they didn't have to make a movie to let me know that God is real, because I already know that in my heart. But there's so many people that don't know that God's real. They've not seen, or they've not felt, or they've not heard in their heart about Him. But you see, the one thing that makes God so real is His fulfillment of His Son coming into the earth. And John the Revelator, in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, I've got in the outline the blood of Christ in the book of Revelation 19 and 13. But I want to read from I'm going to begin reading from verse 1. And I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture here that God has laid upon our heart. And, you know, there's been, we've tried to sing a little bit here, but you know what? One day after a while, there's going to be a hallelujah chorus, where every one of us are going to join in that have been saved by the grace of God. Now, the Bible also tells me that, you know, we're just practicing here, Sister Joyce. We're just practicing here. But one day after a while, you'll get to go over there. Maybe you'll get to play with David's harp. Maybe you'll get to sit down. I don't know if they're going to have the musicians. I believe they will. But you know what? There's one thing that is truly going to be real. There's going to be a chorus. There's going to be a hallelujah chorus. Now, think about this. You know, Moses is going to be there. It tells us in the book of Revelation that they sung the song of Moses. You know what the song of Moses is? The song of deliverance. There's going to be a song that we're going to sing. Now, we've not sung that song yet, but we're going to know it when we get there. And it's all because of the obedience of Jesus Christ. Now, when we get ready to sing that song, the angels are already singing. They're already singing in heaven, and we've had another bass singer, Brother Don, he's joining that. Hallelujah chorus. My aunt, she was a wonderful singer. She's joined in that hallelujah chorus. She sings a song come spring. Well, her spring has come, and she's in the presence of God. My dad's there. I've got many loved ones there. You, no doubt, have many loved ones that are there, and you wouldn't want to miss heaven. I wouldn't want to, and I wouldn't want you to either. But you know, the Bible says that there's a song, and it alludes to this, that the angels won't be able to sing. Did you know that?
Because they haven't had to be redeemed, but I did. I had to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And as mom's son today, we're a royal descendant. And one day after a while, we're going to be able to sing a song. And at this time, the angels are going to be in silence. They're going to be silent because they won't be able to join in that chorus. But we will. If you are saved by the grace of God, you will. But John saw something. He said, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven." In other words, there was a song that was singing by a whole bunch of people from every kindred and every tongue. And it says that as they sang, "Hallelujah." It says, "Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." Now, why should all this be given to the Lord our God? He said, "For He is true and righteous are His judgments, for He had judged the great whore," He said, "which did corrupt the earth with her fornication." And it says, "And hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand." Now, I know this weekend is a Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, I memorialize a lot of people that have died for our country. But you know what? There's a lot more people that have died for the cause, that were obedient unto death so that you and I could worship today in this country that has been called America, the land of the free. But it says here that when we began to sing that song, it's because we have avenged the blood, it says, of the servants at her hand. And it says that again, they said, "Hallelujah," and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And then in verse 4, it says, "Then the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah." And then it said, and a voice came. And I'm glad for the voice, aren't you? He says, "A voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye servants and all that fear Him, both small and great." And it says, "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent," or all powerful, He says, "reigneth." He said, "Let us be glad and rejoice." He says, "And give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready." Now it says, "And to her that was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." I've tried to convey that the last few weeks, for that one day after a while, we're all going to gather together that have been saved by the grace of God. And He says that we're all going to be clothed. We've been talking about the clothing of Christ and the garments of Christ. And I want you to know that when we all gather together, He says that He's going to gather us together. Listen, He says they are clean and white. In other words, there's no more sin. It's all better, brothers and sisters. We don't have any more heartaches. We've got a better place to go, as Mama sung today about that song. And it says, they were arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now, we get a little foretaste every now and then of the righteousness of the saints of God. But I hope and pray to everybody here today that you've been clothed and that you're clothed in fine linen. And I'm going to tell you what it took to get that clean and fine linen. He says, "And He said to me, Write, for they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He has said unto me, These are the true saints of God." And then He said, "I fell down." And when He fell, He said, "He fell at His feet and worshipped Him and said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. brethren and thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus Christ, or of Jesus, worship God. I'll tell you, if you don't have a testimony, you better get a testimony, because you won't understand anything about the garment of Christ until you got a testimony of salvation. And so if you don't have a testimony of salvation, get that. And that needs to be on your bucket list. And, you see, a lot of people have bucket lists, and I don't know how the sermon's going to go today, but things you want to accomplish in this life. You see, before you kick the bucket, I guess you might say, there's a lot of things I've already accomplished. And before I kick the bucket, when the bucket is kicked, you won't be able to kick it no more. It's over, it's said and done. But you better make sure you've got that testimony in your bucket. If you don't have that, you better get it. Then you need, what's the testimony? Testimony ain't no good if you don't tell it. You get somebody up in the court of law, you know what they'll do? They'll plead the fifth. What that means, I mean, you don't have to say anything to incriminate themselves. I'm going to tell you, when you get saved by the grace of God, you want to tell everybody. You say, but I don't know how to tell everybody. Well, just start with your closest companion. Start with telling Jesus. That ought to be your closest companion. Then you ought to you share it with your next closest companion. That could be a friend. That could be a brother, a father. That could be a brother, a sister. Oh, well, that could be your spouse, you see. You ought to share it. When somebody gets up in the court of law and they have to testify for somebody or against somebody, you know what? They are going to have to write it down. And if you've got to write it down, write it down. Put it in your bucket and let somebody know that you have the garment of Christ, that is, the obedience of Christ. That's how you get it. Through the obedience of Christ. When the Holy Spirit reaches out and starts to talk to your heart, and your heart begins to bound in there, you say you're oversimplifying it. I want these little children to be able to understand. You said they're playing, that they're not paying attention. Let me tell you something. They are paying attention, and they know exactly. They have the ability. I don't know how. Did you ever have the ability to play and have your mother say something to you? You heard what she said. How about you didn't do it? I'll tell you, she lets you know she heard, that you heard what she said, because eventually she says, did you hear what I said? See, she's got her finger up there. They hear, they know, and they have the ability with these young, impressionable minds to hear what's being said. But there's going to come a time in their life when they reach that age when all this is going to come back to them. And when it does, maybe it's coming back to you. Maybe it's coming back to you when you heard it as a child, you see. And it's come back to you. But you see, you better have that testimony. And so when you stand up, you either write it down, you put it in your bucket, or you just tell somebody, I know that I'm saved. And let somebody know that you know that everything is well. Whether it's the doctor, whether it's the nurse, whether it's a church member, let somebody know the testimony of your salvation. And then it says, when you give your testimony, he says, of Jesus, he says, worship God. He says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, it's exactly what God said would happen when you get saved. Have you remember when you got saved? I mean, yeah, I've heard a lot of testimonies of people who get saved. When they get saved, and they said, the first thing I did is I loved that fella that I didn't like. Or I loved that girl I didn't like. And you see, when you get true salvation, I'm not talking about religion, I'm talking about salvation. Everybody's got religion. They got some kind of religion. Whether it's that's what you practice. I'm talking about, do you have old heartfelt salvation that came into your heart? And if you did, it's because you are obedient to the Holy Spirit. And when you let the testimony of God be shared with other people, what you have done is just this. You've let the spirit of prophecy be known that everything that Jesus said He would do, did do, and has done, and will do, is true because of the testimony of salvation in your heart. Now, the only way you're going to get that is through obedience, and that's what we're talking about. So then He said, and I saw. He said, I saw heaven open up, and behold, there was a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful, and that's a capital F. I'll tell you, God has always been faithful. His Son was faithful, and He's still faithful today. He's allowed us to be here today. I'm not going to be too long today. But He said He's faithful and true. And He goes on to say, and the righteousness He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as the flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. And He said, and He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. In verse 13, and this is what was in the notes. I'm sorry it took me long. This
long to get up to it, but listen to what it says. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And it says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him, and upon white horses. And it says, and they were clothed. He said, and how were they clothed? And they were clothed in fine linen, and white and clean. Now maybe you're thinking to yourself, I've never been a soldier. I've never had to give my life. Maybe these memorials that we're having, you see, I've never served in the armed forces. I haven't. As far as America's concerned, but I do want you to know that I am a member of the Lord's church and the Lord's army, and I'm thankful that I have put on the clothing of Christ, and I stand before you today, not only as your pastor, not only as a member of Faith Church, but I stand before you as a soldier in the army of the Lord, and I'm ready to fight until the Lord comes back. He said, how are you going to fight? We fight with the Word of God. That's how we fight. Not with
our sword. That's what it is. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so he says, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he would smite the nations, and shall rule with the rod of the iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God. And it says that he hath on his vesture, and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going to stop reading there. It's more than I thought I'd read. But this is what I want you to understand. On the conclusion of this message, and I don't know if I'm going to bring it back up next week or not, but in the last two things that we need to clothe ourselves is the love. I think I've already touched on that quite a bit. And you know what? We need to clothe ourselves with holiness. I was thinking myself today as I was meditating and praying. When this church was organized, and I'll get into this obedience in just a minute, but I may be closing this series of messages today. And so I wanted you to at least think of this for just a moment. And that is, when this church was organized, it was organized, it was set apart as a holy place, isn't it? Is it still holy? You know what makes it holy? It's not the building. It's not this beautiful building that sits here on Burbank Street. What makes it holy is God's holy people. Now, the sanctuary used to be a sanctuary, a place that was holy and respected and reverenced. And I hope and pray that we'll all take notice of that. And when we come into this place, it ought to be reverenced as a holy place. But more importantly, that we reverence God through the way that we conduct ourselves and clothe ourselves on a daily basis. The way that we do that is exactly, and I'm going to conclude with this. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, this is in the conclusion. I want to read this, and then we'll close this message today. Probably the last time that we'll pick it up. But it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. And let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And we touched on that last week. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, but to be equal with God. And verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things of earth and things under the earth. And then he goes on to say,
that at the name and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we have tried to validate the evidence of the holy garments which are found in the fruit of the Spirit. You can go back in the book of Galatians, read that. And it's been my privilege and honor, but I really feel that this is probably, and I don't know what I'll preach next week. I don't know what God would have for me to preach on, but I believe I've covered the humility, trust, righteousness, kindness, obedience, and love, and holiness. Because as Peter said, be ye holy as I am holy. And if you'll read over there in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 20, and also go look at the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it will convey all the things that we need to do in order to put on the holy garments of Christ. And when we put on those holy garments of Christ, we come into this place. And I hope and pray that you'll hold me to coming here and being the pastor that the Lord would be pleased with and that you would be pleased with. And of course, if God's pleased with it, then it's easier to be pleased with what takes place from the pulpit. So I appreciate everybody's attention today. And I'm just so thankful that one day after a while, we'll be able to sing in that holy choir. And the only reason we're permitted to be in there is because we have the holy garments or the sainthood of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it's been imputed into our hearts. And thank you for listening to us today. Word, testimony, anything with anyone's heart before we go any further in the service. Anything at all. I've said everything I've got on my heart. I hope that you'll be obedient to what God has for you to say as He has placed it on your heart. If nothing else to be said, we'll stand together and we'll have a benediction. Unless somebody has a call or something that needs to be said or done, we'll stand together and we'll look to the Lord.
Go ahead, though. You want to stand here today and appreciate the song that Jesus sang. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Brother William. Thank you.
It's just the name of the
Thank you. Anybody else? God bless you. And may you have a safe and blessed Memorial Day weekend. Enjoy some time with your family. Remember to pray for Sister Joyce's grandson that he'll be able to come back. And let's keep praying and keep worshiping and serving the Lord in spirit and in truth. So standing together, we'll look to the Lord and we'll do this. Brother Don, would you pray the benediction at this time?
Good morning, man. God, you're right. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the good sermon we've heard. Pray that you might bless one and brother. Pray, Lord, you might bless the church as a whole. Ask, Lord, that you might look down upon us today. That you might forgive us of our sins and shortcomings. And help us this day to be able to go on.
Yes.
And Lord, that we might do the good things. Pray, Lord, that you might save the lost and
bless the Lord.
Pray, Lord, that you might forgive us a good day today and a good day tomorrow. Ask, Lord, that you might bless us and lead us to God with thy Holy Spirit. Ask now that you might go with us through this day and the time to the book and the time to the night. Ask now that you might give us a good church. And give us a good day to do it. And most of all, pray, Lord, that you might save the lost and save the lost.
Amen. Amen.